You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's Friday. It's time for our Set Apart to Serve conversation. We are heading to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana to meet a second career student.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Well, as I mentioned, we are headed to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and our guest today is Zachary Jacob. He is a former mechanical engineer, now first-year seminarian at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Zachary, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and where is home for you?
Well, I've been asking myself that question for a long time, so... I was born in the South. I was born in South Carolina. So I grew up there. We moved up to Cleveland, Ohio when I was in middle school. So I kind of went to middle school, high school in Cleveland. I went to the University of Cincinnati for my undergraduate. And now we are in Fort Wayne. Between living in Cincinnati and Fort Wayne, we lived in New Haven, Connecticut and Denver, Colorado. So whichever one of those is family or is home for us is, take your pick. I think Cincinnati is what I would pick. I'm married to Emily. She and I have a 7-month-old son. His name is John. And I think that's it. I think that's, my family and my home. So.
Very good. Very good. Tell us about your faith journey, your journey to discovering Lutheranism.
Sure. So I was raised in the church. I was not raised Lutheran. I was raised in the sort of non-denominational sphere, nominally Baptist, but primarily just non-denominational. And I was always very faithful. Church was something that we always did. We were always in church all the time. And so it was always a big part of my life until about college, right? Which I think is pretty typical. And so in college, I kind of strayed away a little bit from my faith. I met my wife in college. She had a very similar story to me. She had kind of strayed away a little bit. And once I decided that this woman I wanted to marry, once I decided that that was our plan, I figured out I needed to figure out my faith. I didn't want to start our marriage on a rocky foundation, so I wanted to figure out what that looked like. So I started doing a lot of research, I guess, to figure out all the different traditions and figure out the different denominations and which one kind of felt like home, because where we were coming from didn't feel like home to us. And so we started church hopping. We went to a lot of different churches. We got super involved in a lot of different churches and none of them really stuck, unfortunately. And that was a really difficult time for us because finding a new church is not fun for anyone. And it wasn't until I found Matt Whitman's YouTube channel, the 10 Minute Bible Hour. And he has actually a 3-part series with Pastor Will Wheaton, about the LCMS. And that was the first time I had ever heard of the LCMS. That was honestly the first time I had ever heard of Lutheranism to begin with. And I just absorbed those videos. I was so enamored by Pastor Whedon. He's so, delightful, and he's so passionate about his faith. And I told my wife, I said, we have to try one of these churches, just see what it's about. And that was that. And then we've been Lutherans ever since. So.
Wow. So you through your college years and meeting your wife, discovering the Lutheran church, and feeling, finding your home in the Lutheran church there. Let's talk about being a husband and a father. Let's talk about your convictions about being a faithful husband and father. What does that mean now that you're a Lutheran? What does it mean to be a husband and a father?
Sure. So, I'm a chronic overthinker. I always have been. that's who I am.
You're among friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
And, but I will say that the one thing I never, I was never an overthinker about was being a father. I always wanted to be a dad. Ever since I was a kid, I always knew I wanted to be a dad. And everything else in my life was sort of a means to that end. And so that is my career. That's where I decide to settle down and live. All of those things, I made the decision based on supporting being a father. And so I pursued mechanical engineering not because I have a passion for engineering. That kind of came later. I pursued it because I knew it was a stable career and I knew that it would provide for my family. And I realized that that's not what being a dad is having money or all these other sort of worldly things to provide for your family. I realized that that's not what being a dad is. And you can be a dad when you don't, you know, make six figures or you don't, you know, drive a fancy car or whatever the case may be. And so everything that I do is in order to be a good husband and a good father. And I think that that has led me here to seminary in some, you know, sort of curvy route, but that's, I do believe that I'm here for that reason.
What was the influence as you made that kind of, I don't know, kind of a worldview shift, I suppose, or an internal shift? What were some of the influences on you as you were considering career and being a father and all of those things? What were some of the things that were causing you to really think deeply about what that meant?
Sure. So like I mentioned, we lived in New Haven, Connecticut, for about a year, and then we moved to Denver and we lived there for about a year as well. My career relocated me. And so we were coming up on a year in Denver, and, you know, Denver's very expensive, to put it frank. And I, you know, my wife and I had pretty difficult conversations a lot of times saying this isn't sustainable. We need to kind of go back east, end up closer to family, you know. And we flew home to Cincinnati for Easter of this year, actually. And that was the first time that our families had met our son. So he was born in Denver and they had never met him. So that was the first time that they were introduced to him. And seeing my mom and my son sort of flipped a switch in my head that said, okay, we have to come back to Cincinnati now. We have to make that a priority. And so we flew back to Denver. Our vacation was over. And, you know, I told Emily, I said, we have to move back. I'll find work in Cincinnati. It's no big deal. We just have to, I'm having a hard time finding fulfillment in my current career. We just need to move back and then everything else will follow. And so that Sunday we went to our church, Trinity Lutheran in Lakewood, and Pastor Cheryl, who is a phenomenal pastor and I will always be indebted to him. We told him that we were moving back to Cincinnati and he said, well, you know, Cincinnati's not that far from Fort Wayne, right? And I said, yeah, I'm aware. And he said, well, have you ever considered applying to the seminary? And I said, no, I've never considered that actually. And he said, maybe you should just apply and just see what happens. And again, this was after Easter. So this was, I think it was the first or second week of May of this year. And I applied and I just saw what would happen, right? And then I think a couple days later, Pastor Wheatfeld, the admissions counselor here, gave me a call on the phone and he said, hey, I just got off the phone with Pastor Cheryl. He loves you. Are you coming for summer Greek? And I said, I have no idea. When does that start? And he said, June 15th. I said, isn't that in like 6 weeks? And he said, yeah. Are you coming or not? And I said, yeah. So now we're here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's now July.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, he does. You know, and it's funny because we're called to trust the Lord and trust that he works everything for our good. And I do, but he makes me nervous sometimes. You know, that's, you know, I trust him, but he makes me nervous and I'm fine saying that. So,
Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yep.
That's right.
Every day.
That's right.
So you made it to Summer Greek. Tell us about Summer Greek. As a mechanical engineer walking into a foreign language.
Yeah.
Biblical Greek.
Sure.
Tell us about that. How'd that go, Summer Greek?
Well, it's ongoing. And if you could see where I'm sat, I'm surrounded by scattered note cards and textbooks. So it is currently ongoing. It's exciting. It really is. It's very challenging. You know, it's intense. They call it an intensive for a reason. It is intense. We spend a lot of time in the classroom and then even more time outside of the classroom doing assignments and note cards and memorization and all the things. But it is so exciting. And just for me, it's awesome to open a, you know, your Greek New Testament and say, hey, I know some of these words. I can kind of conjugate some of this. And it's kind of coming alive off of the page. And our professor, Dr. Nordling, who's been teaching this class, honestly, as long as I've been alive, he said something a couple days ago that really stuck with me. And he said, you know, your job as pastors, once you're in a parish, he said, the parishioners can read the text. They don't need you to read they don't need to hear you read the text, but for them, they can read the text and the words can just stay on the page. And it's your job to make them come off the page and come alive for them. And I really honestly think that when you learn biblical Greek and you read the Greek text, that's exactly what you're doing, is you're making the word come alive. And in a way that you just kind of miss a little bit when you read the English translations. Not that the English translations are wrong or bad in some way, but you just miss a little bit of the nuance there. And so for me, it's very exciting.
We have more to share about Zachary Jacob's story in just a moment, right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Zachary Jacob, a former mechanical engineer and now a first-year seminarian at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, currently surrounded by Summer Greek flashcards. So we appreciate you talking to us in the middle of all of your studies for Summer Greek. I want to take a little bit of a step backwards to your story of deciding to go to seminary that apparently happened very quickly. I'm curious how those conversations went at home, what that was like moving, like talking about moving to Cleveland and then also just, you know, going to seminary too, because that is where the Lord is leading you, obviously. What were those conversations like? What did your wife think? How did all that go?
My wife is a saint. She really is. And I don't know where I'd be without her. I know everybody says that, but they're all lying and I'm telling the truth. So she has supported me in everything that I've ever, you know, wanted to do. And I'm very, very thankful for that. You know, she is currently in school. So she's finishing her degree online for early childhood education and special education. And throughout all of our moves across the country and all of the career shifts and everything, she's just kind of made it happen, made that happen. And I'm very thankful for that. And so when I told her that she was there when Pastor Cheryl said what he said about the seminary. So she was there. So she heard it. And when I told her, hey, I'm kind of thinking about this, she wasn't surprised at all. She was kind of like, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it. I'm very thankful for that. You know, she, uh, not, not to say that she doesn't have her worries and her, hesitancies as every spouse does, but she finds a way to support me through all of it. And I'm very thankful for that.
What were some of the challenges of making that move, uprooting your family? Not that you had been there terribly long, but just family now with a baby, moving back across the country to the Midwest. What were some of the challenges of making that move to be back on campus at the seminary?
Sure. Well, it's a funny story. So if you ask my wife, there were no challenges. And if you ask me, there was a lot of challenges because I loaded the truck and I dropped Emily and John off at the airport, and they flew over and they hung out with family for a couple of days. And I drove the truck with the cat in the truck from Denver to Fort Wayne. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to stop at a truck stop and just rest a little bit. I didn't, I don't know why, but I just drove past all of them. And then I just ended up in Fort Wayne 22 hours later. And I was like, well, I'm here. So anyway, I got to Fort Wayne at like 3 a.m, got into our apartment, slept on the floor with the cat, didn't set any alarms, and then just naturally woke up at 6 a.m. for some reason. And I was like, okay, well now I got to unload the truck. So then I just unloaded the truck. And so they're in Cincinnati hanging out with family, and I'm in Fort Wayne unloading the truck with the cat. And so depends on who you ask, I guess, for the challenges. But seriously, it is challenging, right? I mean, it's expensive. Moving across the country is expensive. And like you said, we weren't there for very long, but we did make friends and we had a church that we loved, and we had to leave that, and that's really challenging. Starting over in a new city where you don't know anybody is very challenging. And we did that when we moved to Connecticut. We did that when we moved to Denver, and we did that when we moved here. So it is challenging, but I am so glad that we did it. Honestly, I'm so glad that we did it because I'm so glad that I'm here. I'm so glad that I'm here with other men who did the exact same thing. There's men in my class from Oregon. There's men in my class from Florida, right? Everybody moves across the country to be here because of what's happening here. So we kind of push through the challenges, I guess.
You've talked about this a little bit with moving and resettling a bit, but you are technically second career because you were doing engineering for a little while. How has already going through school, having a career, being in a workplace, how have you seen those things, the skills you've learned along the way, helped you just in the small bit of seminary that you've done already, but also thinking about how those things will help you in seminary, but then still even further on in your future vocation as a pastor?
So I think that all of the different paths that men take to come to seminary, they're all valid, right? If you go through the Concordia system, pre-sem, straight into seminary, or if you're 65 years old and you worked your whole life and now you're in seminary, I think all those paths are awesome. I do think that having some world experience helps you innumerously, because I spent a few years working in manufacturing with guys that aren't Christian and aren't Lutheran, and you have to figure out how to talk to these guys, right? I mean, not everybody shares your same worldview. Not everybody likes you. That's just how it is, and you have to figure out how to navigate that, and you have to have relationships with people that, frankly, you don't want to have relationships with, but you have to because your job requires it. And you learn how to talk to people. You learn how to work as a team. You learn how to let stuff roll off your back. And I think that in seminary and after seminary at a parish, that's required for a pastor. I mean, being good at theology, being good at, the book work is obviously a huge skill that is necessary, but there's also the soft skills, the people skills that that you have to have if you're going to be a pastor. And so I'll say that working any job, especially in manufacturing, because there's a lot of big personalities and big opinions with some guys that I worked with. It has sort of rounded me out a little bit.
What's it like to be on campus now in person, being surrounded by fellow students studying Greek, preparing for fall semester or preparing for fall term? What's it like to be on campus and have that immersive experience there?
It's awesome. I love it. It's so we don't live on campus. We live about 2 miles away from campus. So I bike to class when it's not, 100 degrees out like it's been the past couple of weeks. But it's awesome. There's the seminary women's events that go on, or seminary wife events that go on. So for all the wives, they get to, have speed dating nights or tea time or whatever it is. And so my wife loves that, and it's great. You really feel like you're in it with these guys, because everybody has sort of uprooted their lives and they've moved here, and you're in it together. And so I think that being on campus, shoulder to shoulder with these guys in a classroom setting, just kind of going through it is super valuable. And, I know that the relationships that I will form with these guys are going to last for a very long time. And so I'm excited about that.
What is your fall shaping up to be? Do you have an idea of classes you're going to take and activities you'll be able to do, and field work? I suppose you'll be doing starting field work then too. What is all that shaping up like to be like for you?
So I will be in Hebrew. So God willing, I'll get past Greek and I'll get into Hebrew. So we'll do it all again. But so field work, like you said, so we will all get assigned churches that we'll be assisting with. So that happens, I believe, in September. So that conversation hasn't happened yet. It's going to be challenging, and it is challenging to balance your studies and your family and your free time and all that stuff. It is challenging. And some of these guys have 2, 3, 4, 5 children, and I have one. So I don't know how they do it, honestly, but it'll be good. We're excited for the new adventure, the new chapter. Lots of prayer is definitely going to be what we're relying on, I think. So
any words of advice or words of wisdom to someone who might be in a similar circumstance? Maybe they're in a career and they're thinking about a change, maybe thinking about seminary. Any words of wisdom or advice you might like to share?
Sure. Well, I would say just do it, I guess. I don't know if that's bad advice or not, but a passage that is really near and dear to my heart is from the book of James, right? And he says, all you who say, hey, we're going to go do this and this, and we're going to stay here for a year and make a profit and all that. And he says, you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Your life is a vapor, and it appears for a little and then it vanishes. And I guess all that to say is, if you feel this calling, if you feel like there's a little tickling in your ear saying, hey, maybe you should do that. Maybe you should just see what happens, right? You should probably just see what happens and just pull that thread and pursue it. And it is scary, and I'm not going to say it's not. And, it's really difficult when you're managing your checkbook and looking at your finances and all that stuff, and you're saying, how are we going to make this work? You will make it work. You will find a way. And I'll just say, if you're even considering it a little bit, I think you should pursue it.
Zachary Jacob, former mechanical engineer, now first-year seminarian at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Zachary, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.